Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning. I got a ring here. October the 6th, 2019. This is going to be the Prophet's Corner Uncut, but it brings with it a teaching, so kind of a combo here today. We're going to be looking at the office of the apostle. This is what the Lord began to speak to me. You're well acquainted now with the office of the prophet. I will now show you things about the office of the apostle. I put prophet up. Anyway, the office of the apostle. You could say that Paul the apostle, now listen to these words, was a pastor over pastors. Paul was given revelation that you know as the epistles. They were letters from Paul to the churches. Most of them were churches that Paul started. He took the oversight of them. Okay, we're just going to start looking at some scriptures. New Testament scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11. I have to get used to this different Bible with tabs. So this is 2 Corinthians 11, 28. Paul is talking about here, he said, 11:28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Well, that word, when you look at it in the vines, means anxiety or distracting care. So this was something that Paul had on him all the time concerning the churches. We can see the struggle that he had here. Let's read the whole chapter because it gets into all the stuff that Paul went through. And I'm wondering, was Paul in some care, evidently? You know, we always see him in a positive light. Whenever see that, you know, he always seemed to overcome in every situation. But he said he had this anxiety over the church. All right. Would to God, verse 1, would to God we could bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupt through the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. And when I was present with you and lacked, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them who desire occasion, that in that which they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If so, yet a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye bear with fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye tolerate it, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Nevertheless, in whatever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily to the care of all the churches. Who's weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I am not indignant. If I may needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped by his hands. Then he goes on to talk about his revelations in Christ. So we see here what the position that Paul stood in, and but what he endured to stand in that position. Okay. We see the struggle Paul had here. He was protective over the church. Very protective. Okay, now I want to look at Galatians 2. He even called the gospel his gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them who were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled in like manner with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, Thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So he came against Peter, because Peter, even after having a revelation from the Lord of the don't call anybody unclean, but it was also food that the Lord laid before him about the food, that he hadn't touched any unclean thing his whole life. And God said, it's okay, now go ahead. So Paul was ripping him a new one right in front of everybody, because he saw that what he was trying to push would have been poison. It would have killed the church completely. And he reinstates that we walk by faith. It's not by works, but it's completely by faith. This was his concern, that just like Eve was deceived, so the church would be also. That was his biggest concern before he left. He said, I fear that just as the serpent deceived Eve. And you know what? We see that today. It's like it's the biggest thing in the world. Most people, most Christians are into works. Totally and completely, and they think it's God. They've just adapted They've been in Egypt so long, they've adapted to the Egyptian ways instead of God's ways. And they believe it's God, and they hear you say, well, that medicine's not God's system. Man, they think you've just committed sacrilege. I get it all the time. I even had somebody tell me, well, I'm just afraid you're going to tell me I can't take my medicine. I said, I would never tell you that. I would never tell you that. My thing is, be led by the Spirit. Let the Lord tell you when you need to get off this or that or do what you need to do, because if you've been doing something your whole life, you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you. You don't need to just do it because I say you need to do it. But I'm going to tell you what the Word says. And if you don't like what the Word says, then I guess you're offended at the Word. It's the Lord telling you, maybe, not me telling you, okay? Duh. I can't say that all that the Lord has planned is evident yet. I'm not sure of all the details, but I believe in some capacity I will be training pastors to start their own house churches. That's not an absolute, but this is kind of just the direction. Like I said, not everything is clear yet, but I do know the Lord has said in previous words it would cover the Permian Basin. Okay. There's something, though, that's very crucial to this that we are going to have, that I believe we need to begin to speak. If you remember, it's around 1 Samuel chapter 15, around in there, 14, I don't know which chapter it is, where David's anointed king. Well, he didn't even step up, you know, for a long time. Saul's house was becoming less and less. David's house is becoming greater. So I see that as the church. The church has become less and less, and the kingdom of God is becoming stronger and stronger. In other words, the new church, the new era, the new age that we're stepping into. But even with David, even though he was anointed king, and even when Saul was dead, Judah recognized the anointing. And like I said, denominations have separated the church, and we're all doing our own thing. And there's going to have to come a time that we're going to have to humble ourselves and join with people to get it done. See, that's the problem. We're all in our little institutions, our own little ministries, in our own little world, and nobody connects with anybody else. Whether it be through jealousy. I know a lot of pastors don't want people in their pulpits because they're jealous. They don't want a prophet in their pulpit. But something's going to have to happen to where people say, well, I'll take a back step because I see God's putting this thing together. The Lord's leading this way. We need to go that way. You see that? This my ministry, my calling, my this. No, this is about who God is raising up to do certain things, and people recognize God is doing this. The tribe of Judah came to David and asked, would you be king over us? But the other tribes didn't. He reigned over Judah something like 7 years until after the death of Saul. And finally, the nation saw David's where we need to be. He's got the anointing. He's been anointed king. Did David push it off on them because he was anointed way back? No. He waited for the acknowledgement of the anointing, for God to raise up people wherever they are. It's not about rank. It's not about how many dues I've paid. It's not how many pastors I've trained under, ministers I've trained under. It's not about how many degrees I have after my name, how many seminaries I've been to. It is about God's power and anointings on that person. Let's get it together and go. This is the only way the church is going to adapt. Do you understand that? They're coming out of Saul's house. It's going to be crucial. So that's something that we need to be, Lord, let people recognize the anointing. In fact, the word you gave back in 1999 basically says that. People will see. Just like when Jesus came on the scene, they flocked to him. They knew he was anointed of God to do what God had called him to do. And they joined with him. Lord's told us for years, I'm going to bring people alongside to help you. I've told you I'm going to do that. You say, well, that'd sure be nice, Lord. Because one person can't do it because they need others to join. Ministers joining with other ministers to do things that need to be done and not and being like the church is supposed to be, where we're going to read that later, where the prophets defer. Instead of, no, I'm the best prophet, I'm the head dog, I've got it all, and I'm going to take up all the time, and what you have to say doesn't matter. Those kind of days are over. We're all the body of Christ. I want to be following somebody that's anointed, and I know the power of God is on them, and I see it in manifestation, don't you? I'd have to be honest with you. We followed a lot of people over the years, but I've not seen really any power. Just saying. Okay. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Ephesians 4. Do we want ours or do we want God's? We want to follow God. We want to follow the ones He's raising up for this day and this hour to do whatever He wants to get done. My prayer is, Lord, join us with the right people. You know, join us. Do what? To get this work done, join us to the right people. You know how to network us. This is the way the church can be one body all over the world. Right now, it's all segmented up in denominations, and one's doing his thing, this one's doing their thing. Well, how much more power could they do coming together? 4:12. Oh, not Galatians. I'm sorry, Ephesians. Let's do 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. You know, the Lord wants us to move like one man. What man is that? The man Christ Jesus. Yeah. This is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. They're given to the body of Christ by God, not by men. These aren't seminary raised up, even though, you know, somebody out of seminary could be raised up. But I'm saying, this is not by seminary. This is not by our school and you doing it the way you come up through the ranks, the way we tell you to do it. This is God ordained. David certainly didn't come up through the ranks. He was the runt of the litter and he was very lightly esteemed. All the big dudes in his family with the handsome and all these things were overlooked by God. Even Samuel the prophet, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me by the outward appearance. And God said, I don't look at the appearance, the outside appearance, but I look at the heart. He saw David killing the lion and the bear, worshiping him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts and yet show unto you a more excellent way. Talking about love is the next excellent way. So, well, right here, it indicates to me that he's saying, covet the best gifts. Well, wouldn't that be, well, I'm an apostle. Or, I'm doing a miracle. Wouldn't that be the best? No, it's what's needed at the time. If the message in tongues is needed at the time, that's what needs to come forth at the time. I don't believe that the five ministry gifts are actually ranked over each other at all. I think they're supposed to work together to bring the unity in the body of Christ. They're all supposed to be preachers and teachers. I don't think you can be any of these gifts without being a preacher and a teacher. Teacher, anyway. Okay, apostles are sent ones, a messenger or commissioned one. Apostles are preachers and teachers of the word, just as the other four offices are. This is the word of what apostle means, a commissioner of Christ or sending, a mission and apostleship. So we're just going to look at some scriptures here. I just looked up the scriptures on apostle, so maybe we can start getting a little bit more of a picture. Romans chapter 1. I looked in Brother Hagin's book. He has a lot to say about the apostle, and I agree with most of what he says. Not everything, because, you know, God speaks to each of us differently. As long as it lines up with the word, that's all that matters. Okay, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Okay, 11. Like I said, these are just scriptures that have about apostle. 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. He heads off most of his letters saying that he is an apostle. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church which is at Corinth. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9. I believe there's a lot of apostles in the body of Christ. They're just not recognized because of the ignorance of what an apostle is, kind of like a prophet. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So he might be apostle over some, but maybe not others. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 9. From the least of the apostles that am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But then he goes on to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So these gifts are not what you're worthy of or what you've earned. It's by grace. God decides. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. Okay, verse 12, same chapter. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that is simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have behaved ourselves in the world and more abundantly towards you. And that's not in this one. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 12:12. I think say, I write it down wrong. 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So this comes with the apostle's office. Okay, Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In other words, a man can't appoint another man an apostle. In fact, I'll show you something here. Acts. Let's go back to Acts. Chapter 13. Verse 1, now there were in the church, that is, at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius, a Cyrenian man, and who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As he ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here they are commissioned. They're being sent. Okay, that's, he became the apostle. Okay. Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. No daddy calling. 1 Timothy 1:1. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:7. For this I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So we see preacher, teacher, apostle in this context. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:11. Is that right? Yep. Unto which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So preacher, teacher, Gentile. I mean Gentile. Apostle. Preacher, teacher, apostle. All right, Titus 1. 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is far after godliness. Okay, Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the apostle of faith over our confession. Apostles can be called from all kinds of works, all kinds of directions and things that God will send them to do. They consider usually missionaries apostles because they're sent to another country to start churches. Okay. Some people are church builders. They call them apostles because they build churches. That's what Paul did. He started churches. Or churches formed after people got born again under his ministry. Okay, 1 Peter 1. One, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So he was the apostle over all these regions, even though they were Gentile regions. Even though he was sent to the Jews, he took the oversight. Okay, 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying. I think I'm reading the wrong thing. 2 Peter 2:1. Well, that didn't have apostle in it, so anyway, skip that one. Don't know why. Apostles 6:52. Here's a few scriptures that says apostles. This is Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Doctrine. So the apostles laid down doctrine, which the 12 apostles were actually those that laid down foundations. Most, we build on the foundation. Today's apostles build on the foundation. We'll get into that later. Okay, Acts 4, 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and a distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Then having laid, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's verse 37. So they were the head of the church in Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost came and the church started growing by leaps and bounds, the apostles were over the church in Jerusalem. Okay, Acts 5, 2. Well, let's just read the first one too. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also knowing of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit to keep back part of the price of the land? So we know what happened as a result. Okay, Acts 8, 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Okay, apostleship. This also means commission, ascending, a mission, or an apostleship. All right, let's go back to the Acts 1. 125. That we may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his place. So they're replacing Judas, and they did it by lot. You know, you never hear of him either, do you? So I said, if you're going to throw dice to see who's going to be the apostle, you're probably in a lot of trouble. Okay. Okay, Romans. Back to Romans 1, verse 5. They also cast lots for Jesus' garment at the cross, too, so that tells you. Okay, Romans 1, 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So really, they were commissioned to take the gospel into all nations, weren't they? And you find them after Stephen's stoned, they're still camped out in Jerusalem. You know, I think a lot of times apostles just, you know, whenever they start something, they keep it going for a while, then they turn it over, usually to a pastor. So, you know, they just outstayed their welcome, and it started showing in the church. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, 1, 9, verse 2. Verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So Paul, he came back and visited the churches from time to time. He traveled all over. Okay, Okay, 1 Corinthians, all right, Galatians 2:8. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So, Paul says here, Peter was called to the Jews. He was called to the Gentiles, or sent. Okay? Our mission statement is Romans 5:17. Let's just read Romans 5:17 right quick. We are sent to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. And the Lord gave me a scripture for the title and for the mission statement. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundant grace fellowship, and the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So, our mission is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. Okay, Jesus was an apostle, Hebrews 3:1. You might have read that already. Says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Paul was an apostle. Paul received a revelation of the mystery of Christ. I mean, we know what we know today because of the revelation Paul had. Okay, look at Ephesians 3. Verse 4 and 5. Wait a minute, I'm in Galatians. By which when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians 2:19-20. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In Brother Hagin's book, he talks about the Lord told him that there are no longer any foundational prophets because the 12 apostles of the Lamb, they laid the foundation. But that even though Paul did have foundational truths, I think Paul was probably the one that took the place of Judas, actually, because you never hear of the guy that they chose. All right, let's look at Hebrews 6, which it'll show you the foundation. It's been laid. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Okay, so these revelations have already been laid. Okay. Whatever revelation we receive must have its foundation in Scripture. A good foundation equals a good building. Doesn't mean we don't have revelation. We have revelation off of that foundation. Doctrine can be laid on the foundation. That's very obvious. Okay. The five ministry gifts are different leadership positions in the church. One is not over the other. We should be willing to let each other flow in our giftings without fear. As leaders, we certainly are to not think we have it all and nobody else has what we have. But we should defer to one another when needed. This is what I kind of talked about a while ago, about if we're not willing to think it's my ministry and my gift and my... If we have that attitude, then how are we going to defer? Well, yeah, you know, maybe somebody comes in and they've got a lot more experience and they've been working with the Lord a long time and maybe they need to be deferred to. Maybe they don't know as much, but just out of proper, out of manners and, you know, esteeming that person in the Lord. Leaders should not be chastised by the people they teach, for they speak for God. They are not perfect, but there is a proper way to do things. We're going to look at that for a minute. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Okay, keep going. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives, and all things command that they may be blameless. So there's a proper way. There's another one. Where's that about two or three witnesses? Okay. There's a place in Scripture that talks about whenever an elder is rebuked, it's to be with two or three witnesses. And I don't think that means just two or three people that just don't like what you have to say and chomp on you. I think it's leaders in the church that bring it. Maybe I have it down here and just don't know it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you. All right. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Okay, then that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Okay. All right, there should be humility and not arrogance. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Talking about in the church, and when you come together, well, let's just start with 26. No, 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first one hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Okay. All right, look at, let's see, the same chapter, verse 20, We just read that, all right? Now go back to 12. 12:28. God has said, I read this earlier, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, of all the gifts of healing, do all interpret, speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. Okay, so love is to be the motivation. You can understand why you do not put a novice in this place. There would probably be fist fights. All right, 1 Timothy 3. So we're going to take you out. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 6. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. By the way, they just now gave women the rights to drive in Saudi Arabia. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So the Lord puts people in these offices that have this character development. Paul's oversight as an apostle was spiritual, even though he encouraged Timothy and others. He let them pastor. Okay, Acts 20:28. A lot of back and forth today. I told Danny yesterday, well, I better not say that on tape. Somebody will tell you. All right, Acts 20. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I put here, he was a pastor of pastors. Let's look at 2 Timothy. In fact, both the letters to Timothy were from Paul to Timothy, encouraging him as a pastor. He was a young pastor. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Read the epistles. This is what Paul is doing. He's encouraging pastors of the churches he started. He's talking to this church and that church. I mean, he's talking to the head of the churches. Paul was not over the Jerusalem church. He had the apostleship over the Gentile believers. He submitted to the leadership of the Jerusalem church. This is Galatians chapter 1. Except he got on to Peter about something. He couldn't stand the hypocrisy. He couldn't help himself. But that could have been the prophet in him, because he was a prophet first in Acts chapter 13. In the list of the prophets, they were praying over. So the prophet come out in Paul. Galatians chapter 1. Let me get a drink here. Let me encourage you today, anytime you read somebody's book, make sure it has a basis in Scripture. I've heard about all kinds of weird books from people that have read from about heaven, most of them don't fit anything that you see in the scriptures where it talks about they saw the elders around the throne and they saw the glassy sea and they saw the four creatures. They don't, you know, it's just all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, from now on, I'm not going to take much stock unless I hear the same accounts. God has a throne. And he puts it in scripture, what's in there. So just be careful, you know. A lot of stuff is out there today just simply because we got an out there society. It never hurts to base it in scripture and say, well, you know, I can agree with that because it does line up with scripture. Yeah, I can see that. It'll keep you safe and it'll keep you on the right road where you don't get off in some weirdness out there and look up and think, how did I get here? Yeah. Okay. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me unto the churches of Galatia. See, he's over Galatia. Grace be to you. He said churches of Galatia. Wasn't just one church. I believe most of them were house churches. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So you see Paul and his apostle, he has the oversight of all these Galatian churches, and so he is imparting sound doctrine to them. For do I now seek the favor of men or of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So he was not a people pleaser and he did not care. You see that with how he rebuked Peter. He told them the truth, not what they wanted to hear. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? What the Lord has done in this ministry has been my revelation of the Jesus Christ. We've had to unlearn so much crap that we learned. And a lot of it we were taught right, but we misunderstood. You know, the faith teachers, I believe they were doing a good job. We had some good upbringing under the faith teachers. But we just took it and made a work out of it, for the most part. So Paul's telling them, don't get into an alternative gospel. He said, there really isn't one, but you know what I'm saying. Galatians is all about staying out of the works of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. For ye have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. It's been hard, but I am so thankful to have been pulled out of the church system to hear from God and learn from God. I mean, you can't take that away from me. You couldn't take it away from Paul either. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none except James, the Lord's brother. So I don't listen to many people anymore. It's like the Lord said, Don't read that book. You study that for yourself. You go look up those scriptures. You go look at it in the Word for yourself. And if I want to pull something from that book and let you give it, that's one thing, because most of the books you've already read several times anyway. Okay. How are you going to know what's in the Word of God if all you do is read somebody's book on it? You need to read the Word of God for yourself. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. We don't have to be confused about giving an answer to somebody when we've already got it from the Lord ourselves and have an understanding of it. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only, he who persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then he talks about 14 years later, he went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him. So he didn't confer with flesh and blood. That's what kept me in agony for so many years. I felt like, well, none of these men pastors will even recognize that I have any giftings. What am I supposed to do? And the Lord brought us into the house. And we didn't understand it. It was excruciating for us because everybody else was going to church and thinking, you ain't got nothing. We were following the Lord all the time. Let's keep going. All right, 1 Corinthians 5. Nothing against the male pastors. That's the way they've been trained and raised. We just didn't fit. Remember the word about the you're a square peg and you've been trying to fit into a round hole? And that round hole is just going around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain. I don't want the Lord to be saying, well, she'll be coming around the mountain when I come. No, Lord, I'm going to be walking and following you. No more going around the mountain. Period. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication as is not as so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Paul, as an apostle, is correcting the Corinthian church. They got a guy, got in sin. All right, keep listening. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away among you. You have to understand, as Gentiles, this was part of their culture. Part of their heathen worship was orgies in their temples and all this stuff. So if they haven't been taught, that may be why later Paul restores him back. But, you know, For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. You know, like today, we just accept, like I said, we got our gay section over here. We love the gay people. We want them to be born again, and they're free to come in and hear the Word of God. But we're not to adapt to that. We're to show them in the Scriptures where they're wrong. Or God does. Through the Scriptures, it indicates to them that I'm not in line with God's Word and I need to get in line with God's Word. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's not just homosexuals, that's with anybody that's not running, you know, the Word of God. That's especially a believer. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. He's talking about keeping that out of the church, not running with people in the church and just saying it's okay. He's saying in the world you have to be around them because you're sent to the world to bring the gospel to them and impart the truth to them. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. We tried to do this with a motorcycle group that we ran with, and we got judged and basically blackballed, and we were the ones that fought because they were such worldly Christians, rebellious worldly Christians. For what have I to do to judge them also that are outside? Do you not ye judge them that are within? But them that are outside God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And then it goes on to talk about don't take brothers to court. He meant for the church to take care of their own business and not have any business with the legal system. You see how a nation of leaders being lawyers, you see where it got us. Satan and his legalism, that's where it got us. Just about all the congressmen and senators are all lawyers. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, no wonder we're swimming in sharky waters. Legalism, it's a killer. Okay. All right, second. What's this? Let me pick up my place here just a second. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. He meant for us to take care of these problems in the church. Because they haven't been taken care of, now you see why the church is infiltrated with people that don't have any inkling. You know, it's okay to just live with somebody and not get married. It's the norm now. I'm talking Christians. I'm not talking just in the world. That most definitely is. But in the church. Okay. This is 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house. I don't think that's right. Let me look. Okay, let's just skip that one. All right, we see Paul correcting the fellow apostle. That was Peter. We read that earlier. The apostle ministry gift has signs that follow. We read that too. I would think it would be safe in saying that Paul had many house churches. Here are a few examples of those. Acts chapter 16. Verse 40. This is 16:40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So Lydia's house. Okay, Acts 20, verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. This is when Paul talked all night long and the little guy fell down, Eutychus. You know, it's been several years ago. I couldn't find the word where the Lord gave me. I tried to find a plaque. I couldn't find a plaque that said upper room. I was going to put upper room over this because the Lord said this is the upper room. Okay, scriptural, upper room. All right. Okay, let's look at some more. This is Romans 16. Three through five. When I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to you, bring your liberality into Jerusalem. And if it be suitable, then I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you, and when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey wherever I go. I'm trying to see if I'm reading the right thing here. No, I'm in Corinthians. Tell you what, picked the wrong day to start using a different Bible, didn't I? Romans 16, not Corinthians. I'm going to have to rethink this for television. I can't do my speed. Okay, 16, Romans 16. Okay. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Asia unto Christ. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16. The churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla, greet you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Okay, Colossians 4. Where is Colossians? Okay. This is Colossians 4:15. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. All right, Philemon 2. I think I need to go back. All right, after Titus. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in the house. All right, let me read a word here from the Lord. Now you know why in 1997 I moved you from the gym back to your home, and I have had you there to this day. I did not lead you to organized religion. I didn't want a clone. I wanted someone that would listen and obey. This is an advantage to a home church. God puts them together and separates the pastor, not a seminary. I call and separate without men messing with it. When the church became institutionalized, it came under government control. Institutionalized churches are not under my control, they're under Satan's. This is what institutionalized means, to incorporate into a structured and often highly formalized system. Now you can understand the problem of the 501c3. You cannot serve two masters. Read Mark Taylor's prophecy. I didn't understand that till yesterday morning when I was typing that out. This is called purging the temple. He had it 4:26:16, Mark Taylor. The Spirit of God says, the 501c3, those that are eating of it are not eating from my tree. For when I told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you shall surely see, so it is with those that eat from the 501c3. For this demonic document that you have signed has now made you spiritually deaf, mute, and blind. Woe to those who continue to use this demonic system, for you will be exposed and purged from this evil cistern. The Spirit of God says, can you not see that you are taking a bribe? They will say, it's all about the money, and for that you shall be kicked from my tribe. Taking a bite from that apple has taken you from a spiritual body to a brick and mortar, and has placed you under the new world order. For how can you be a part of my spiritual body when you have cut off my head? For those that don't turn will surely fall as dead. Tear up the contract, repent, divorce Baal, and remarry me, and I will remove the spiritual blindness so you can once again see. Come out of this. Come out of this before it's too late, for my judgments are on those systems that I hate. Come out now, for I will no longer tolerate. I wrote here the three city states. It's the beast system, and it is a corporation. The United States is still under the corporation. The 501c3 makes the church a part of the beast system because it has become a corporation. I've got the papers to prove it. And I've asked the Lord, what do we do, Lord? Just show me what to do. I believe with the reset, all of that goes away. But another thing, if you decide to shut down your corporation, then every cent that you have and everything you have has to go to another nonprofit. So see, they get you coming and going to where if you decide to disband your church, then you lose all your assets. They steal it from you. So I'm asking the Lord what to do in this matter. Like I said, I do believe that when the reset happens and we are a republic again and no longer a corporation, then we won't be under that. Now, the president has made it to where we're not penalized for speaking in our pulpits, but that didn't nullify the 501c3. That got rid of the censorship, government censorship on pastors and teachers and their pulpits. So, anyway, that's all I have for today. So you can